Hello, I'm Maurice Powell. Welcome to A Little Light Music, Manx Radio's regular Thursday evening classical music hour. Now, last week I played two movements from a cello concerto by Arthur Sullivan. Not very well known, but a lovely slow movement, an andante espressivo. I thought I'd start the programme this evening with another bit of Sullivan. He was Sir Arthur Sullivan by this time, and in fact he'd already finished his collaboration, the famous collaboration with W.S. Gilbert for those operettas, the famous ones, of course, Mikado and so on. But after that era, he collaborated with a number of other people, including Basil Hood, on an operetta called The Rose of Persia, written in 1899. So it's one of his last works. And I confess I didn't know a note of The Rose of Persia until a recording somehow dropped into my lap, as these things do. By 1899, Sullivan was in poor health and spent much of his time in Switzerland. Nevertheless, it was a very popular piece, had 213 initial performances, but is very rarely heard today. It's an Eastern story. I don't know how well it will go down, but I've listened to it, and the music is really very pleasant, and there are at least two or three hit numbers, or which could be hit numbers if the music was better known. So let's start off then with the overture to Sullivan's The Rose of Persia, and then we'll just hear the opening chorus just to give a little flavour of it. Thank you.
Noble Hassan, I'm neither sick nor sad, a most contented man, though foolish persons think me mad. The laziest of lives, I live in peace and plenty, surrounded by my wives, who number only 25. You'll find that 25 are practically plenty. If you've a craze to make your days a dolce far niente, another wife might spoil my life, because you see, twixt you and me, she might have twixt that would not mix with dolce far niente.
Another wife might spoil his life, because you see, twixt you and me, she might have twixt that would not mix with dolce far niente.
It may occur to you that only 25 are singularly few. To that, of course, I'm quite alive. My wealth is so immense, their number I could double. I do not here expend so much, you see, as extra trouble. I smoke my humble bubble and calculate the trouble. The trouble I with 25, twice 25 would double. A simple thumb and finger sum, it's rule of three, it seems to me. Our Arabic arithmetic will prove the trouble double.
A simple thumb and finger sum, it's rule of three, it seems to me. Our Arabic arithmetic will prove the trouble double.
The overture and opening chorus there of Sullivan's operetta The Rose of Persia, his last operetta written in 1899. And there we heard Hassan, the sort of hero, ruminating on the fact that he has, in fact, one wife too many. Be good to see it revived, but what sort of audiences Sullivan gets these days, I'm not so sure about. Very expensive to put on. You need to be sure of getting at least a week of full houses, and you can't guarantee that even with something like the Mikado or any of the other really famous ones. However, The Rose of Persia, one to look out for. And now the music of George Gershwin. This is a little piece called Walking the Dog. It's from the musical Shall We Dance. The libretto was by Ira Gershwin, his brother, and the film version starred Fred Astaire and Ginger Rogers. The best known number from the show, Let's Call the Whole Thing Off. Here we have Walking the Dog.
Thank you.
The music of George Gershwin, Walking the Dog, from the musical Shall We Dance of 1937. And now to a composer who has not appeared in this series before, I'm fairly certain of that, and a piece of music which is actually very famous, so it's rather shocking that it's not appeared here before. The composer is Heitor Villa-Lobos, the Brazilian composer, and the piece comes from his Bachianus Brasileiras, which, as the name might hint, is a mixture of Bach and Brazilian folk song. This is the famous aria. It's a soprano vocalise. In other words, the soprano sings a wordless sort of cantilena over eight pizzicato cellos. The whole thing evokes the beauty of a moonlit night. This is a truly gorgeous piece, the aria from Bachianus Brasileiras by Villa-Lobos.
Thank you.
stunningly beautiful piece. That was the aria from Bachianus Brasileiras by Villa-Lobos. The soprano was Carita Matila. How do you follow that? Well, obviously with Percy Grainger. There is a link. I'm trying to think of one. Well, from Brazilian folk music to English folk music, of course. This is Grainger's arrangement of a Lincolnshire folk song, I'm 17 Come Sunday. Now, Grainger, like Vaughan Williams, like Holst and Cecil Sharp, was a great collector of English folk songs. And it's a good job, too, because by the early 20th century, many of these were dying out. And the singers that used to sing them in the villages all over Britain were dying out as well. So Grainger was in Lincolnshire in Redbourne in 1905, and he took down this song, I'm 17 Come Sunday, from a singer called Fred Atkinson, and then arranged it. It's a very interesting and delightful piece. And I happened to be in North Lincolnshire, oh, 2-3 weeks ago now, and I made a point of going to Brigg, because I always wanted to know what Brigg was like, because of the famous folk song Brigg Fair, which again Grainger collected in that area and turned into a wonderful piece, and which Delius then used in his Brigg Fair, the orchestral rhapsody. And a very beautiful area North Lincolnshire is, very little known, very peaceful and quiet, huge skies, lots of dikes and things like that. No windmills, unfortunately. Very few, anyway. But a lovely, lovely area. So, enough of that. Here's Percy Grainger's arrangement of the Lincolnshire folk song, I'm 17, Come Sunday. The irrepressible Percy Grainger with the Lincolnshire Folk Song in I'm 17 Come Sunday, collected in 1905. Good heavens. That illustrates a number of things about Grainger's music. It's incredibly inventive, very colourful, very vibrant, difficult technically to perform. But, I mean, it started there as a kind of an a cappella piece for just the choir. But, of course, then he brings in a huge brass band with lots of percussion at the end for a piece that lasts, what, 3.5 minutes? So very difficult to programme Grainger. You need huge orchestral forces, really, to perform even the smallest pieces. Nevertheless, great fun. I love his music. Now, if you've just tuned in, you're listening to me, Maurice Powell, A Little Light Music, our regular Thursday evening classical music hour. And you're very welcome indeed. We've had music by Sullivan, Gershwin, Villa-Lobos and Percy Grainger. And we have Dvorak and Hummel and Delius and Mozart to come. If time is our friend, and it often isn't, of course. Dvorak next. Dvorak's sixth symphony in D major, composed in 1880, is his first truly great symphony. That's not to decry the others. They're all charming in lots of different ways. And the fifth symphony was performed quite recently by the Isle of Man Symphony Orchestra, conducted by Nigel Harrison, and proved to be a very popular piece indeed. But the sixth symphony is kind of just up another level. There's a lot here that is instantly recognisable as Dvorak. And when he's dealing with sort of his national dances, the Czech dances, his music is always brilliantly orchestrated and rhythmically vibrant. The premiere of this work took place in Prague, as you might expect, but it soon moved to London, where it became very, very popular indeed. So here's the scherzo then, a furiant, a Czech dance, from the Sixth Symphony of Dvorak.
Thank you.
The exciting Furiant from Dvorak's Symphony No. 6 in D major. As I say, his first fully mature, thoroughly sort of Dvorakian symphony. A very, very fine piece. It deserves to be heard more often. We need something just to calm us down, I think. And what better than Ronald Binge, The Watermill. You may remember this. It was the it was used as the theme music for BBC Television's The Secret Garden. A gentle pastoral mood. Ronald Binge, The Watermill.
Thank you.
The Watermill by Ronald Binge. And now we have a concerto spot and a concerto, or part of a concerto, for trumpet. They're a bit thin on the ground, to be quite honest. Trumpet concertos, certainly by very famous composers. The obvious one that springs to mind, of course, is the Haydn trumpet concerto. And then following shortly on its heels was the trumpet concerto in E-flat major by Johann Nepomuk Hummel, which, to my mind, I've always thought as a rather better piece than the Haydn. Haydn seems rather constrained in this particular piece, probably because both of these concertos were written for the same experimental trumpet. In 1800, an instrument maker called Anton Weidinger advertised that he will be presenting to the world for the very first time an organised trumpet. What he had done, in effect, was to drill holes in a conventional trumpet and then cover the holes with keys. In other words, it was a keyed trumpet, which meant that instead of just being able to play 13 or 14 notes, it could actually play a chromatic scale, which obviously gave composers writing for the trumpet a lot more scope. When Haydn and Hummel came across this remarkable instrument, it was still somewhat in the experimental stage. And I don't believe it was ever brought to sort of its finest inspiration of the maker. And of course it disappeared because the invention of the valve came within sort of 10 years and we hear no more of keyed trumpets. Although I suppose in some ways the saxophone, which is a brass instrument with keys, may have been partly inspired by it. Who knows? Anyway, we're going to hear the slow movement, the andante, of the Hummel trumpet concerto, a very fine piece, which I said before, and it's played for us this evening by Alison Balsam.
Thank you.
The slow movement there from Hummel's Trumpet Concerto in E-flat major, played by Alison Balsam. And now to the music of Delius. His name cropped up, I think it was a little earlier in the programme, when we're talking about folk songs and Percy Grainger and Lincolnshire. Here's the first of two songs to be sung on a summer night on the river for unaccompanied choir. There are two of these. I'm just going to play the first one and maybe save one for a later occasion. These are just incredibly beautiful. The music of Delius. The first of Delius's two lovely songs to be sung of a summer night on the river. We'll hear the second one in a later programme, I promise. And now something lively by Mozart. This is the finale, presto, of his Divertimento for strings, K136, written in the early 1770s. There are three of these divertimenti. They were probably written as part of his duties for the court in Salzburg, but nobody really knows why they were written. Sometimes they're called divertimenti, sometimes they're called Salzburg symphonies. They can be played on a string quartet, or as here, they can be played on a small string ensemble. Anyway, a little bit of Mozart, the presto from his Divertimento in D, K136. A delightful piece of the very youthful Mozart, a piece written in his teens. And that brings us to the end of the programme. I'm rather surprised, but time seems to have gone very, very quickly, as it does with music, of course. It runs away with us. So we need someone to play us out with. In the meantime, please join me again next Thursday at 9 for some more light classical music. I hope you've enjoyed the selection. No idea what's going to be in the programme, but I'm sure it'll be something for everybody. So what do we need now? Sydney Torch, All Strings and Fancy Free. Goodbye.